thank you, Fred, very much for the wonderful testimony that honored the Lord so much and the singing and you being here. You know, our lives are a powerful message like Fred's was to honor Christ and how the Lord can change any life around. So we're glad he does that today for us. We need that just like we did when we met him. And the Bible talks about three big enemies the Christian has as we try to follow him. And all these enemies are stronger than we are on our own. So we have to face those enemies. No, we are weak without God's intervention. And Paul deals with this here in Ephesians 6. The three enemies are the world, the old sin nature, that is the sin within, and the devil. I'll describe them a little bit to you and give an analogy of what that felt like for me when I was in elementary school. Just look at one piece of the armor of God today he gives us. That is the breastplate of righteousness that would just be from the Lord himself, Christ our righteousness. Well, what's the first enemy? The world. The world you might think of as the Tower of Babel mentality. Life without God, man becoming the center of everything. Hey, let's get together and run our lives, run the world. And who needs God? We'll stick him in the church on Sunday or something. That's fine. But he's not the main point of life. That's the world's mentality. And it's a mob mentality, you might say. It was expressed early in Greek philosophy by a fellow named Protagoras. I never heard of the fella. I had to look him up based on what he said. He said the phrase, man is the measure of all things. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, that puts man at the center of the universe. Man is the measure of all things. I think that is most expressed on the street today with the saying, perception is the truth, or perception is reality. So what we're saying at that point is that we measure the truth. It's the truth by our standards of what we think. Okay? We become the measure of all truth, measure of the reality. To use a rough illustration. We turn our heads into a crystal ball and we say, this is how I see it, so this must be the way it is. Okay? That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught, you shall know the truth. There is such a thing as truth that is true for everybody, and that truth can make you free. So you want to get away from that worldly mindset. Well, it just depends on what I think. No, it depends on what God thinks. So you are not the measure of reality. God is. You know, our perception is limited. It's skewed and it's off base. And so Christ can come and deliver us from a worldly mentality, life without God. In elementary school, for me, that took place where there was lack of authority on the playground. I grew up in a town where everybody walked to school. No school buses to our elementary school. No horse and buggy wagons either, so don't be thinking that. We all walked to school, and we were together until the bell rang. Boys on one side of the building, girls on the other side, and it was mass chaos. Every day, fights, bullying, vulgarity, pushing each other around. From what I remember, at least once a week, somebody went into the building, started their school day crying. Okay, what was that a result of? No adult, mature authority over the little ones. Okay, and so we were just being ourselves. In fact, I didn't think anything was wrong with it until I was preparing a sermon over here. So there it was. Life without godly supervision. When adults live that way, it gets even worse. Life without God's supervision. Put down, fighting, moving others away, our mentality of the world. Eugene Peterson, when he paraphrased 1 John, when God says, don't love the world or the things of the world, he paraphrased, don't want things your way and want things for yourself. I mean, that's so easy to get into. But God said, that's not how to live. See, that can be an enemy to your soul. So that's enemy that can be overcome through Christ. He says, take heart, he overcomes the world. Second enemy is our old sin nature, the sin within. So So a rebellious sin attitude, trying to take the place of God again. For me, in elementary school, it took the form of fear, pride, and cheating. I got very good grades in elementary school, sometimes because I was bright or studied hard, or the guy next to me was bright and studied hard. And my goal for grade school was whatever I did, I had to get better grades than my two big rivals, Alan and Carol. Alan Zirchin and Carol Reiser. As long as I beat them, I had a good day. That was my whole point of elementary school, contrary to what my teachers thought. But that was sin attitude, a me first attitude. Only God can deliver us from that. Third enemy is the devil, the fallen angel Lucifer, for which hell was prepared. He and his demons attack people. They have no good plans for you. They have no fondness, no love, no liking of you at all. So don't be fooled by some of the schemes. For me, in elementary school days, that took the form of attack on us elementary kids by teenagers who would go to another school. We had to go up this one street. The teenagers had to cross our path going to another school. They were bigger than we were, smarter, faster. We were in trouble. We had no help unless there was superior intervention. So eventually, help mom and dad, because we have no power against these ones. Help, Lord, because we have no power in ourself against that which is against God, the devil and demons. So God knows we'll lose every time against the world, the sin nature, and the devil on our own. But he gives us himself and his armor to fight with and to win. You are on the winning team because of Christ and the strength or weapons he gives you here. We have to remember as we look into this chapter, which fantastic chapter, Ephesians 6, that the armor of God is an analogy and an illustration. When my boys were little, we actually got them a little thing, but the armor of God, and they could put the armor of God on, and you know, they put the helmet on, and said salvation, and the sword said the word of God, and all that, and that was good teaching in there. But the point, of course, is God saying, "I give you of myself, and I give you of my strength, so you could be victorious." So today, what I want to do is not go over all the armor of God, but one piece, the breastplate of righteousness. Be strong in the Lord, and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God and stand against the schemes of the devil. So the only one we're going to go over is the righteousness of God. Righteousness in the Bible means right standing with God and integrity and moral goodness. Okay. Now you think about that first part, right standing with God. If I'm righteous with you, what the Bible says is that you and I, we're good with each other. I say, hey, you know, I have a right standing with Fred. We don't have anything in between us, right? And in fact, I can't remember. No argument, no arguments, you know, no unresolved conflicts. I have a right standing with Fred. Hopefully you do that with your family, and the Lord initiates that with you. He says, "I offer you right standing through my son." It was beautiful, by the way. It was powerful when, after Fred sat down, just saw his family members beaming at him. I really like that. Guys, way to go. So the right relationship with God, integrity and moral goodness, He could give that to us. We don't have that on our own. Okay, we got to get that because we it's not inherently in us. I'll give you some real life examples. You take a fellow like Tony Dungy, ex-coach, used to play for the Steelers and coach for the Steelers, but he has right standing with God, and he has integrity and moral goodness. And he would be the first one to tell you that's because of Christ. It's not because, you know, he practiced not lying and, you know, he stayed away from bad places or anything. He would say that Christ. Take a look at somebody, Johnny Erickson Tata. A lot of disabled situations for her. Right standing with God, integrity and moral goodness. You and I as Christians, moms, dads, teens, and children, can have that right standing with God, integrity. Little Jake Boer has it as much as you and I do. I mean, maybe, hopefully we've learned to live it out a little more. Christ has all the authority and power. Righteousness of God against evil in the world. Greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. So God gets the credit in the righteousness gift. It's Him and His goodness gives you victory in the battle. I want to do the screen thing for just a little bit. Three applications. Christ's righteousness overcomes self-righteousness. This is a big enemy probably from sin and the world. Self-righteousness is basically what I'm going to do should impress God so much that He says, yeah, I'm right with you. Christians have a struggle with this. I was talking to one guy, he said, I struggle with self-righteousness. I said, why do you think that is? He said, because there's so many good things about me. Okay? I mean, I do all kind of good stuff. So you can understand how... He was looking at the lighter side. But self-righteousness is saying, I am good enough by what I do to follow God and to know Christ, to be right with Him or have integrity. That's not the gospel. In Jesus' day, people said, follow the commandments. Do these, and you'll have life forever. And nobody could do it. In today's world, sometimes we Christians, we say this, hey, pray more, read the Bible more, go to church more, you should be doing that. And if you do that, we'll say you're righteous. But I'll let you know when you get there. Okay. That's not the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness of Christ is what He does, what He gives you. His love, His forgiveness, His strength, His power. And you say, wow, that's quite a gift. I feel right with God now. I think I have some kind of integrity. Certainly it's not for me. John Bunyan wrote about his struggle with self-righteousness. He said, he felt the law was saying this to him. Run, John, run, the law demands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. Or even the holiness of God's ways can't change us unless we have a Savior come. Better news the gospel brings. It bids me fly and gives me wings. So that new life with Christ that Fred describes. Let me change the poem and maybe make it more close to home for John Bunyan. Run, John, run, the church demands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. Better news the gospel brings. Bids me fly, gives me wings. So God in His goodness can do for us what even our fellow Christian can't do. That's the good news. To know I need Christ's righteousness for the battle as much as I need Christ's righteousness for salvation. It might seem simple, but oh so important. You and I need Christ's righteousness for the battle as much as we need Christ's righteousness for salvation. So we say, Lord, give the gift. Otherwise, we have filthy rags of our own righteousness. Okay, second battle he wins. Christ's delight in you overcomes self-condemnation. I think self-condemnation is as much a problem for the Christian as is self-righteousness. Only it's a little curveball thing in there. Self-condemnation says you don't measure up. You don't think God wants you to be in church, do you? I mean, look at your life. And you really didn't read the Bible enough this week, and you really didn't pray enough, so who are you trying to kid? So God, He has no love for you. He's not interested in you. Okay, that's words from what we would say, the accuser of the brethren. Sometimes we accuse ourselves like that. How do you know that God doesn't want you to change? He does. And God, as someone who brings conviction of sin, when we're aware of sin, we run to God. That's what God does. When we're aware of sin, we run to God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Self-condemnation says, when I'm aware of sin, I run away from God. And I run away from you. Now, if you really knew what I was like, you wouldn't want to be around me. That type of message. God says, I give the message instead of God's delight in you. Two fantastic verses coming out of Hebrews. Jesus looks at his children and says, he is not ashamed to call them his brothers. This is Hebrews 2:11. I don't think it's up there, but that's okay. And then Hebrews 11:16. God is not ashamed to call them his people. So instead of being down on your own walk, to say, hey, God's delighted in me. He'll still love me and work with me where I am. Man's religion says this. This is self-condemnation. Go and sin no more, and then I won't condemn you. That's man's religion. And sometimes we do that with other believers. Go and sin no more, and then I won't condemn you. That's not the gospel. The gospel says, because of Christ, I don't condemn you. So go and sin no more, because now you're free from the penalty and power of sin that Jesus brings in your life. If you want to look at it, how you treat other people or how you treat yourself, have you ever tried to fix another person? Say, I got to straighten them out. It's really impossible. So what makes you think you could fix yourself? Unless you entrust yourself to the Lord, you're going to be stuck in either self-righteousness or self-condemnation. Instead of knowing it's Christ and his goodness that really puts our heart on fire for him. At our point of greatest guilt, we are to go to Christ and know his approval and his love. It's quite a gift, and I think we learn of the gift as we go along. The last result of Christ's righteousness as a gift, right standing with God, integrity, is that God's glory in our life overcomes self-worship. Now, self-worship seems really bad, but it's easy to go in that direction. Last week we heard the choir sing, all glory and honor to the Lion who became a lamb. That's how good Jesus is. And so he's honored in the midst of worship. And when you think about worship, that has to be a time with God in which he reaches out to us. Otherwise, we're back in the religion side of the ledger. We're back in Protagoras' worldview. Well, what's your perception of worship? Well, let me tell you what I think. This is the way I see it. God says, wait a minute. I'm the one who invents worship, and I am the center of worship. And so worship is really God reaching out to us and us responding in some manner. If we don't have God reaching out to us in worship, what you and I have is this. I wonder if I prayed sincerely enough. I wonder if I knew enough Bible. I wonder if I did everything the right way so that God would say, okay, that was fantastic worship time, by the way, you all. But if God reaches out to us, here we are with our empty hands, and God reaches out to us and says, now here's my love. Now here's my son. Now here's my spirit. Now here's my forgiveness. This is what I will do for you by the grace and mercy of God. And God reaching out to us, his glory overcoming our own measurement of worship or what our relationship is. So in closing, take that breastplate of righteousness from God. If you don't know him, you need him for salvation. You need him for heaven. You won't go to heaven without Christ. If you're a Christian, following Christ is impossible. Someone said it's not difficult, it's impossible. That's why you need God's help. That's why you need the righteousness of Christ given as a gift. And where you can put it into practice with as much zeal as you can muster up. I don't care how zealous you are, that's good. But it's not your zeal that's going to make a difference. It's God's work. He's at work within you. You're his masterpiece, as the ladies were going to study about soon. Well, let's pray and commit this time to God. Lord, as your children, we want this victory over these enemies. And we'll be winless if we keep trusting in ourselves. Our sin nature will win out, and the word will, and the devil will. But when we trust you, you're victorious, Lord. So have our hearts rest in you. I pray for anybody here who would say, just like Fred said at one time, he said, I honestly don't know if I'm at peace with God or not. They would just say, Jesus, be my righteousness, be my goodness. And Lord, you shine through them. Help them with your Holy Spirit. Be born from above. They'll have that internal motivation they need. And for any Christian, Lord, trying to follow you, might they say the same prayer, sincerely, Jesus, be my integrity, be my right standing with God. Lord, we believe you're sufficient, so we do hold on to you through faith. Bless each of your children here, Lord, with that sense of your love and your truth. And send us with good news. In Jesus' name, amen.